Let us continue our chat about the Israelites in the Exodus and their redemption. At this point, they have arrived at Mount Sinai, their home for nearly a year. On the question of water, there is a clue in Psalm 68, verses 8 and 9, and I quote, "The earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel, rain in abundance. O God, you shed abroad, you restored your inheritance as it languished," end of quote. The entire gathering of Israelites at Mount Sinai have agreed to obey all the requirements given in the Book of the Covenant. This covenant established the basis of Jehovah's continued protection and provision. Moses is summoned to the mountain, and the episode of the Ten Commandments, which requires all of 17 verses, is done. Now compare that with the many chapters given the building and furnishing of the tabernacle. It seems to me that God is very interested in the act and elements of worship. Is true worship of the Lord high on our priority list? In the ACTS plan of prayer, adoration comes before confession. Our requests are at the very bottom of the priority. In Exodus chapter 40, the Lord tells Moses to set up the tabernacle and promises his presence will be indicated by a cloud during the day and fire at night. In verse 9, everything in the tabernacle is to be anointed with oil to signify sacredness. Please note that the glory of the Lord was so overwhelming in coming into the tent that Moses could not enter. You might look at the Revelation chapter 15 and verse 8. The tabernacle and furnishings were created to model the future tabernacle not made with hands. See Hebrews 9. Let's review the sequence. First, there was the moral code so people could know that what was expected of them by Holy God. Then, the construction of the holy place for Jehovah's presence, which could also point to Christ as a sin offering. The golden calf incident is interspersed in these instructions on the tabernacle. Twice they have affirmed their allegiance to the Lord and seen the fire, smoke, and cloud of his presence. Yet they have to have the self-indulgence of immediate gratification. After having been smote and 3,000 people executed, they take another vow of allegiance. God is indeed long-suffering. The transition of the book of Leviticus is like turning a page on a continuous story. Verse 1, "Then the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting." Note, his presence is now among his people. It really becomes a divine book because God is speaking himself into the book to all of his children then and now. Jehovah proceeds to give Moses a volume of instructions. Remember, this mob of people who have absolutely no established rules of conduct. God is to prepare them to entry into a land that will be infested and surrounded by very pagan societies. They are to be a nation of priests for spreading of God's glory. They really have to be given the nitty-gritty of living in a hostile environment while Jehovah is calling them to be holy. Central question, how to live so close to the holy God? Only by continually cleansing and commitment to holy lifestyle. Leviticus has 27 chapters, cleanly divided into two parts. The first, 1 through 17, are the laws of acceptable approach to God are in sacrifice. The second half, 18 through 27, are the laws of acceptable walk with God or sanctification. Both of these spiritual concepts are operative today. Like no other Old Testament book, it is filled with pictures of Jesus. Without exception, the sacrifices in the first part of the book and the feast and festivals in the second half provide a really vivid portrait of Jesus. There is one other important point to be made. The book of Leviticus is directly linked in the New Testament to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews makes Leviticus come alive and allows a fulfilling of everything suggested in Leviticus. In my opinion, we can find four basic categories behind the laws given, and each has a corresponding principle that carries into the New Testament. First, there is a relationship with God. Refer to Romans 3, 13 through 18. To honor and worship Him, to give the reverence due to Him, is not a casual event. We seem to often forget He is some awesome holy God. The first four commandments are all about the vertical relationship with God. Two, relationship with my neighbor. The reference is Luke 6, 27 through 31. Justice, fair play, and obligations to others. Number three is ritual cleanliness. The reference is 1 Thessalonians 5, 20 through 23. One is protection from disease, and the other is separation from pagan practices and even the appearance of condoning pagan practices. Finally, there is dietary laws corresponding to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Protection from disease. Practically all have a health dimension, which we have just begun to understand in the last 100 years. The garbage things of the earth, like pigs. Today, raising pigs radically different, but in the natural state, pigs have every virus known to man. See the sovereignty of God where there is not a direct health problem and there was an issue of pagan practices. We see in this book man worshiping as it is pleasing to God. It emphasizes keeping his body and soul healthy with the strong theme that we must strive to be holy as our Redeemer is holy. An overarching theme of this book is atonement. Refer to Leviticus 16, 30, 34. One final note. The first use of love as a verb in the Bible is in Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18. It is the essence of the law. In Genesis, man took a great fall. In Exodus, we see man beginning to be redeemed. In Leviticus, we see man worshiping Jehovah, the benefactor. Blessings on your house.